Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the CreditBank of Moscow nine-month 2016 financial and business results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Sergei Lukyanov. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining the presentation of nine-month 2016 financial and business results of CreditBank of Moscow. I'm Sergei Lukyanov, in charge of investor relations, and I would like to introduce our today's speakers. Here with me are Vladimir Shchubar, CEO of the bank, and Eric DeBosshen, Senior Vice President. It's now my pleasure to turn the floor over to Vladimir, who will give a brief outline of key recent developments, followed by Eric, who will guide you through our recent financial performance. Thereafter, we will be happy to take your questions. Vladimir?
Thank you, Sergei. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Starting with an overview of general market trends, I would like to outline that third quarter of 2016 became the turning point in terms of macroeconomic development. On one hand, we saw a revival in demand in corporate lending. On the other hand, international capital markets demonstrated an unprecedented interest in Russian credit, which resulted in tightened spreads and thus opening a window for Russian issuers, including financial institutions, among others. We tapped the market in late October with a half a billion five-year senior unsecured LPN issue, which became the first benchmark size 144A Regulatory transaction by Russian banks since February 2014. Strong international demand converted into high-quality order book allowed to launch the transaction at coupon rate 5 and 7/8 with a 48% share of international accounts in the placement. Rationale behind this transaction was to further diversify funding base by sources together with the extension of average maturity. Moreover, tapping the market was an important exercise for us from the perspective of our international capital markets positioning after a long pause, which followed our latest Eurobond issues. In this context, let's now proceed with financial highlights overview on slide number two. CBM reported significant improvement of financial results year-on-year, which was based primarily on qualitative business growth. Net interest income increased by 77% to 31.4 billion rubles. Net fee and commission income increased by 50% to almost 8 billion rubles. Profit for the period amounted 8.3 billion rubles, significantly above 1.5 billion earned in nine months of 2015. Strong return on average equity of 11.5% for nine months of 2016 was supported by keen efficiency with a cost-to-income ratio of 23% and stable net interest margin. Total assets and gross loan book showed a single-digit growth year-to-date, together with an improvement of assets quality indicators. NPL ratio decreased to 4.8%, cost of risk ratio decreased to 5.1%. Capital positioning strengthened year-to-date, which gives the room for further business development. Let's now move to slide number three. Corporate lending remains a key driver of the loan portfolio growth. Though staying flat in the first half of 2016, it picked up the pace in the third quarter and delivered 7% growth year-to-date, as well as on a quarterly basis. Larger corporates still the main focus in the corporate lending. Retail loan portfolio decreased by 12% year-to-date due to tight underwriting standards on one hand and lack of quality demand on the market on the other hand. Target segments in the retail lending are cash loans and mortgages, which represented 73% and 22% of the total gross retail loan book respectively. Retail banking business key priorities are to establish an efficient branch network in Moscow and Moscow region, and to further develop alternative channels of distribution, aiming to strengthen customer base, primarily on the liability side. As of today, the bank operates through 81 branches and plans to further expand its network up to 90 branches in the short term. Now I suggest moving further. Eric will provide details on the bank's financial results. Eric, please.
Thank you, Vladimir, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So I would like to draw your attention to the slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expense dynamics. The total operating income grew by 87% year-on-year from 23.9 billion rubles for 9 months 2015 to 44.8 billion rubles for 9 months of 2016. The major part, 70%, of operating income is represented by net interest income, which grew by 77% year-on-year to 31.4 billion rubles, generally reflecting expanding business volume and cheaper cost of funding in the reporting period in comparison with the first 9 months of 2015. This trend is apparent on the bottom right diagram, where on one hand, interest income dynamics is outpacing interest expenses, 38% growth versus 21% growth year-on-year respectively, and on the other hand, the net interest margin slightly increased to the level of 3.6%. A significant part of customer interbank deposits were placed in low-risk, highly liquid assets, such as top-tier debt securities or interbank placements. This was reflected in the dynamics of interest income. About half of the year-on-year growth, or 11 billion rubles out of a total growth of 23 billion rubles, was attributable to securities and deposits in financial institutions. The net fee and commission income grew by 50% year-on-year to 7.9 billion rubles. The structure of fee and commission income is represented on the bottom left diagram. It has undergone changes with cash handling fees becoming the main components of fee income with a 20% share, which resulted from the acquisition of IncaCloud in November 2015. Generally, commissions from cash handling and plastic cards represent the most stable sources of fee and commission income. On the upper right diagram, operating expenses showed a moderate 37% increase year-on-year. The growth came from salaries and administrative expenses, which was mainly attributable to acquisition and integration of cash handling business of IncaCloud to the bank. The bank significantly expanded its core business, but managed to keep operating expenses under control, with a cost-to-income ratio decreased to 23% for the reporting period. Now I suggest turning to slide number 5 with a breakdown of total assets. Total assets as at the end of September 2016 were represented by the loan portfolio with a 47% share, by liquid assets representing 50%, and some other assets representing a 3% share. Year-to-date growth of total assets by 9% to 1.3 trillion rubles was mostly due to the enlargement of the bank's liquidity buffer, while net loan book showed moderate dynamics, growing by only 4%. Tightened standards in lending to individuals led to a controlled slowdown of retail loan portfolio, thus partially offsetting positive dynamics of corporate loan portfolio growth. The bank's primary focus remained asset quality. Therefore, accumulated strong liquidity cushion was represented by highly liquid, low-risk instruments, such as top-quality securities, 82% of which are included in the CBR Lombard list. Now let's move to slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. As described in the upper left diagram, loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance decreased from 7.4% as at the end of June 2016 to 5.6% at the end of September 2016. Negative dynamics was observed due to write-offs of a number of big problem exposure in corporate loan book, as well as some parts of retail loan book. Most of these credits were already provisioned between 80 and 100% during the previous reporting period. Impairment allowance provides comfortable coverage of NPLs of 117% as at the end of September 2016, which is shown on the upper right diagram. NPL ratio decreased to 4.8%, thus demonstrating steady downward trend since the end of the first quarter of 2016. The cost of risk decreased from 5.4% for the full year 2015 down to 5.1% at the end of September 2016. The related party lending is still low, representing 1.06% of the total gross loan book at the end of September 2016. Now I suggest turning to slide number 7 with a detailed overview of corporate and retail loan portfolio metrics. On the backdrop of moderate growth of gross corporate loan book, on the left, qualitative indicators went in positive direction in the reporting period, with NPL ratio down to 4.2% and cost of risk down to 4.7%. And NPL coverage ratio slightly increased up to 123%. The retail loan book NPL ratio stabilized at the level of 7.9% on the backdrop of loan portfolio reduction by 12% down to 106 billion rubles year to date. Cost of risk grew up to 6.7% and the NPL coverage ratio increased from 96 to 99% year to date. A substantial part of retail NPL was originated in mortgage loan portfolio, which is comfortably collateralized by real estate, taking into account that loan-to-value ratio is far below 100%. Non-performing cash loans and credit card loans are fully covered by provisions. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities grew by 8% during the first 9 months of 2016, up to 1.2 trillion rubles as at the end of September 2016. Customer accounts represented the main source of funding with 71% share in total liabilities. At the same time, deposits by credit institutions grew significantly in the reporting period, enlarging their share in total liabilities up to 19%. Bonds issued decreased by 14 billion rubles, down to 107 billion rubles, mostly due to the forex revaluation effect. The bond repayment schedule is comfortable for the bank, with the bulk of international debt being due in 2018. Additionally, and as it was already mentioned by Vladimir, in late October we placed 500 million USD senior Eurobond with maturity 2021. This Eurobond was realized in order to diversify the bank's funding base from a currency and maturity standpoint. Another effect is that this new bond issuance is the extension of wholesale debt repayment schedule beyond 2018, which, coupled with the bank's extended presence in international capital markets, gives us additional comfort in potential liability management exercise at some point in the future. On the next slide, number 9, let's focus on the liquidity breakdown of the balance sheet. 50% of total assets are represented by a liquidity buffer, which amount is comparable to the total corporate deposits at the end of September 2016. Historically, retail deposits prove their stickiness, being one of the most reliable and stable source of funding, while demonstrating sustainable growth over the years. The bank's strong liquidity position is additionally supported by stable balances of unused liquidity available from CBR, which accounted for 370 billion rubles as at the end of September 2016. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 10, on the bank's capital. The bank maintained a strong capital position with capital adequacy ratios maintained at comfortable levels. The IFRS Basel III total CAR increased up to 17.4% and Tier 1 capital adequacy ratio up to 10.7%. The capital adequacy ratios under Russian accounting standards are far above regulatory minimum, with N10 ratio of 13.9% and N11 and N12 ratio of 7.6%. So these were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for 9 months of 2016. Thank you very much for your attention. And now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star or the asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Once again, that's star one to ask your question. Our first question comes from Yulia Di Mambro from Barclays. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few questions, please. Firstly, on your corporate deposits in Q3. So it looks to me like you saw some deposit outflows in the quarter, in the region of 100 billion rubles. Would you be able to give us a little bit more color on these deposits? Were these deposits from one of your top five depositors? And what is your deposit concentration now? What currency were the outflows in? And it looks like most of that was replaced with interbank loans. So I just want to understand why you decided to attract more interbank loans rather than using your existing liquidity. And are these interbank loans short-term, and is it a temporary measure, or do you expect to continue to operate with the current funding structure? And what kind of assets are these interbank loans funding on the asset side? Were some of the loan growth that you described funded with these interbank loans, or were they used to purchase more liquid assets? That's my first question.
Thank you for the question. You're right, we had quite slightly decrease in terms of the deposit book, but at the same time, I want just to outline that our loan deposit ratio was really kind of low because historically, I think you remember we had more than 100%. This year we had even lower than 70%. So for us, it was just a slight decrease in terms of corporate deposits. You're right that it was one of the top five depositors, a number of them, but at the same time, we decided not to decrease our asset book in terms of the bonds portfolio. We decided to make more repo operations with these bonds we have in the portfolio. So this interbank, what you saw, it was more repo. So that's why, in terms of the composition of the balance sheet, my view now it's more, let's say, more close to the universal commercial bank composition than it was even a half year ago when we had loan deposit ratio less than 70%. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. And do you expect further deposit outflows? What have you seen since the end of Q3?
We saw a number of deposits just left the bank, some new depositors and deposits we have in the bank. So we really saw no material changes in terms of deposit base in the bank currently. And what we expect in the last month of this year, you know that every December in Russia there is a kind of big inflow of money from Russian budget and a number of Russian companies, they are receiving this money, and we really expect, as usual, seasonal inflow of corporate deposits in December.
Understood. Thank you very much. Moving on to asset quality, so you mentioned that you wrote off some of your corporate loans and some retail loans. It looks to me that you wrote off some impaired loans which were past due by less than 90 days but were already impaired. What is your outlook for cost of risk for next year? And also, what are your thoughts on the impact of IFRS 9, which is expected to come into force in January 2018. Have you made any estimates on the impact yet, and how are you preparing for it?
I start to answer with IFRS 9. You know, it's better to talk about this, I think, later, because now we're just making our models and we are we hired a number of consultants for this. So, but what we are trying to do now, we are trying to even make some kind of management provisioning and add some extra provisions to the loans. We expect that it's better to make it there. You know, that's why we are trying to prepare ourselves for IFRS 9 in this way. But if you're asking about write-offs, yes, we did number of write-offs in the third quarter, but I didn't understand. You said that we made some of them which were less than 90 days. Am I right? Do you mean this?
Yeah, that's what I see in your numbers. So it looks like...
Okay. It's one of our biggest problems from last year. It's one of the biggest Russian airlines, former Russian airlines. And now we, after we had 100% provisions, and after the company just became the loan of this company came to overdue, so this year, and so we decided that we don't see any potential, let's say, money what we can have from this company. So that's why we decided to write off it.
Understood, thank you. And what's your outlook for cost of risk next year?
We expect it should be lower than this year. This is our target, actually. And we are still making our budget currently, and we are thinking in a way that it will be lower than this year in terms of the total cost of risk.
Okay, and are you seeing any new NPL inflows, or is it just the legacy stock that you're working through now?
From the last call, when I said that we don't see any new big potential or current problem loans, I can tell you the same. So currently, we don't see any new big problems. So in case of if you're talking about small and medium companies, let's say small companies, yes. But it's more process. If we are talking about bigger corporates from first quarter of this year, nothing new material.
Great, thanks. And my last question is on capital. So your last reported N1-2 ratio was 7.4% as of 1st of November, which is quite a bit below the 8.5% fully loaded 2019 requirement. How are you planning on filling that gap? Are you planning to just generate capital organically, or are there any capital issuance plans in the pipeline?
What do you mean about 2019?
So if we include the combined buffer requirements, so the capital conservation buffer in the requirements, the fully loaded Basel III requirement for Tier 1 ratio for the N1-2 ratio in 2019 will be 8.5%, and you're now at 7.4%, and your loan book has started growing again. So how are you planning to increase your N1-2 ratio to 8.5% by 2019 is my question.
Okay, look, while you're just talking, we try to understand what you mean. So first of all, if you're talking about current N1.2, you're right, it's a bit lower than it was before, but at the same time, we think that we can generate good profit in terms of Russian accounting standards this year and next year. So it will add some extra capital to the bank. At the same time, maybe you saw that we registered the prospectus in the CBR for some potential issue of the shares of the bank in the future. So we are not talking about this year business. So it can be next year. We will see. Anyway, if you're asking me about this new regulation, so we just want to understand, because it's more regulation from Basel III, but if you're talking about Basel III in terms of IFRS, we are much higher than this minimum level, apparently. But if you're talking about Russian standards, I do not remember that there is something like this in Russian regulation from 2019.
I was asking about the Russian accounting standards ratios.
Maybe we just will look once again and just maybe to understand your question more deep, maybe you just can send it to our IR team and we'll answer to you on bilateral basis.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you. And just one final question, please. So you mentioned that the recent debt issuance that you did makes you more comfortable with doing liability management exercises with perhaps one of the 2018 bonds. Are you thinking more about the senior part of the capital structure or the subordinated debt part of the capital structure in terms of liability management?
You know, in terms of liability management, you mean that are we going to make some kind of buyback or no?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
For me now, we just meant that we are more comfortable in terms of making the curve longer and making our name just coming back to the market. But in terms of making kind of buyback of our bonds, I mean, senior or sub debt, currently no decisions like this. And, you know, for me, it's a bit tricky all the time to discuss with the kind of liability management if we are the bank, because it's much more important for the corporate, because they have cash flow, they have just limited sources of the cash, of the money in the liability side. For the bank, it's much more open market, so we can make a number of different transactions in terms of taking money from the market. We can just, you know, that we can take money from the clients, corporate clients and the retail clients. That's why for us was much more important when we made this transaction, just come back to the market, test the market, and making our curve more longer.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Greg Palfi from Pala Assets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation and today's call. Just wondering, what's your net interest margin goal for 2017? And also, if I'm correct, your goal was 4.0% for this year. Are you guys going to reach the 4% with a stronger fourth quarter? Because quarter on quarter, the net interest income was a bit weak in the second quarter. And
yeah,
that would be the first question.
Yeah. Look, in terms of current year, yeah, we thought about 4%, but currently, as you saw from my IFRS, from our statement, it's a bit lower, and there is a number of facts for this. I personally don't think that we can achieve during last quarter 4%, because first of all, of course, competition is a bit higher than we expected. Number one, and number two, we have a number of transactions, a number of the borrowers on our balance sheet with a quite tight margin and with a very low risk. So that's why overall net interest margin is a bit, let's say, lower than we predicted. But at the same time, I want to tell you that our net interest income, which we have currently, it's, I think it's higher than we predicted because, as I said, we have a number of transactions with a zero weighting on the capital, and they are also bringing us some kind of interest income in the bank. Our projection for the next year, I can tell you that we hope and we try to make it up to 4%, and currently it's the bigger discussion in terms of budget is about this. It's about net interest margin for the next year, cost of risk and net interest margin. This is two parts we really care about much more than about other, because it's for example fee income and number of other positions in the budget in potential P&L of the bank, it's much easier to predict. So here we are carefully saying about up to 4% in terms of net interest margin for 2017.
Okay. And regarding the top 10 clients, top 20 clients percent of corporate loans, do you have that breakdown? for 9 months, 16. Used to be 20.
In IFRS, you mean, or?
For 2015.
It's about 40%.
The top 10.
Yeah. Top 20 credits is about 40% currently.
40%. And the top 10?
Top 10, I don't have it now with me.
Okay.
We can answer to you. I think we have your email. We'll come back to you by email with this answer. Okay.
Sure. Okay. I guess that was it from me. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take the next question from Nick Sinclair from Aberdeen Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation. I was hoping you'd be able to offer some information about where the rapid increase in credit institutions' deposits came from. Thank you.
Could you please repeat the question? Because I didn't hear it. It was a bit loud here.
Yes, of course. I was wondering if you could offer me some information about where the increase in credit institution deposits came from.
It came from number of Russian entities, the biggest Russian banks and biggest Russian brokers in terms of making repo operations, if you mean this.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Yeah, you want your number? Okay.
We will now take a follow-up question from Greg Palfi from Pala Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Forgot to ask about this pledged repos. Can you just remind us what was that in the second quarter? Because I calculate 27%. That's under repo for both the available sale securities and the financial instruments. And at the end of 15, it was 3%, and now it seems 27. So can you just give us some color on that?
We are trying to find it now in IFRS, but could you give us a second? Or if you don't mind, we just can also come back to you by email because we need some time for it.
Sure. But can you just give a color on these? These are still the central bank type of repos?
No, if you mean with the repo, no, we are not using CBR in terms of taking money for the repo operations, almost. Sometimes, yes, but very seldom. Because CBR
is... These are not from CBR. That was kind of used in the banking system.
Much more, CBR is much more expensive. CBR is much more expensive in terms of pricing. If you are talking about the repo operations,
mm-hmm.
It's if you are talking about, for example, about forex repo, about dollars repo operations, CBR is about 1% more expensive than the market currently. And if you are talking about rubles, it's almost the same.
Yes, in fact, it's repo deal with top Russian banks mainly.
Yeah.
And to give you the figure, so at the end of June, the amount was 266. Billion rubles, and at the end of September it's 234. It's public information you have on the IFRS accounts.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to turn the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Excuse me.
Well,
I think maybe another question from one of the speaker, one of the listeners.
Certainly, sir. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, press *1. We will now take a question from Anov Servitsa from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the call. I have a question if I may. I see good volume growth in the third quarter, particularly on the corporate side. So do you see further expansion in the fourth quarter, or was there any particular transaction which boosted growth this quarter? And secondly, if you can provide any outlook on the retail side, then that would be beneficial. Thank you.
So first question about the loan growth. Look, yeah, you're absolutely right. Third quarter was good. And historically, the fourth quarter is one of the best in our bank. So because of the seasonal effect and on the both sides, on the liability side and on the lending side. So I think you remember that we have a lot of companies as a borrowers from the segment of retailers, so shops, malls, so they are taking money, they are taking cash in last quarter for new season. So we expect also the growth in the last quarter. We will see. In terms of the your second question, to be honest, I didn't hear it.
I was just asking in case you can provide some outlook on the retail side. Retail loan growth outlook, any you can provide.
You mean outlook for the loan growth for the next year? Because I hear you not
so well.
Yeah,
on the retail side, basically. Yeah, I'm asking on the retail side, as you say that corporate would be better, but retail loan growth is still contracting. So I just wondering, when can we see some turnaround in this?
Sorry, you know, the connection is not very good, to be honest, and we hear you not very good. Maybe we can just also ask you to send to our IR team, because really maybe it's something with the connection.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, just send the question, please, and we will answer. Okay, thank you so much.
We now have one further follow-up question, sir, from Greg Palfrey. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Basically, the same question. The retail loan book was contracting 12%. So just like previous analyst was asking, how do you see the retail business, not only for you, but also for other, I mean, for the whole market? When is it going to turn the corner, or it's just going to have like a L-shaped recovery at best?
Thank you for the question. Look, CBR said just yesterday or today that they are predicting a tough year for the retailers, I mean for the retail banks next year. And so my view that we currently in a position not to increase our risk appetite in the retail sector, in the retail lending. About the next year, I also think that it can be some maybe more risk appetite from our side in terms of the retail lending, but nothing material, nothing dramatical, because we still think that we don't see kind of revival of consumer demand on a level which can really allow us to be more active in terms of the retail lending.
Mm-hmm. Do you see job losses as the main factor, or just, I mean, inflation seems to be coming down relatively in Russia?
No, the main factor is the quality. If we're talking about the retail lending, the main factor is the quality of incoming potential borrowers. This is the only factor. We are still not comfortable with this quality, and we are still not comfortable with the average quality.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking about the other banks, I've heard that some guys, they may be ready to increase their activity in terms of the retail lending, but at the same time, I don't see it in their statements. So maybe next year, but I think it's still a lot of uncertainty.
But you're right. I mean, both double digit inflation plus the fact that salaries did not increase, of course, it has a negative impact also on payments capacity of customers. So this is low quality demand, I think.
Mm-hmm. And just going back to the Tier 1 N11, which is a core equity Tier 1 for Russia, one of the analysts raised this question. I just want to clarify that for the Russian-based accounting standards, you guys don't see an increase from 2019 from the current I think it's 5.0%, right? So you don't see that it's going to increase?
No.
I mean, IFRS?
No, currently, we're talking about, so there's N11, the minimum level of N11 is 4.5% currently. 4.5%, yes. And N12 is currently, the minimum level is, which one? Just 6%, yeah. Yeah, because
yeah.
They changed it.
Right.
And we currently, we don't see that they're going to change it and do something. There will be just a buffer, but it will be for, not for all the banks, as I remember. It will be for systemically important banks.
Huh. Okay.
We are not in this list until now.
You're not in the... Okay, you're not in this list?
No.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, thanks. That's good to confirm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the question and answer session. I will now turn the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention. Thanks for being with us, and please feel free to contact if you have any further questions via email or by phone. Our IR team will be helpful. Additionally, we would like to announce that our team will participate in the annual Moscow Exchange Forum 2016 in London, which will take place on 6th and 7th of December, so you can assign to one-on-one meetings if you want, and we will try to explain all the 9 months figure and give other comments if needed. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Credit Bank of Moscow 9-month 2016 Financial and Business Results Conference Call. Thank you all for your participation today. You may now disconnect.